You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altra, there when it matters.
The Classic Business Show is brought to you by Altron, technology partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit altron.com. Altron, there when it matters. Well, good evening and welcome back if you've just joined us to the Classic Business Show. It's now time for our offshore investment feature, and Mark Wheatman from Unum Capital joins me to discuss the international landscape. Mark, thank you very much for your time this evening, and thank you for joining us. Let's start with the portfolio that you've been building with Classic Business. Take us through some of those returns and some of the changes that have happened.
Yeah, certainly. So the portfolio is available on the website trade1027.co.za. We've constructed a portfolio for the listeners. We've been building it over the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks with Michael. Currently holding 15 trades. And as Tip Ranks said this morning in one of their newsletters, if you can't handle the fire, you get out of the kitchen. Or handle the heat, get out of the kitchen. And that's how I felt over the last 4 or 5 weeks. But at least we're seeing some green around in our portfolio. So currently we're up about 2%. And some of the ones that have done quite nicely for us are some of the defensive, like John Deere. We've had some good performance in Walmart. And our little punt on oil last week has performed quite well for us.
Right, so I mean that's obviously quite nice. You've also got new entries into things like Raytheon, Nvidia, and Walmart. Is that correct?
So we got a little bit lucky there, and it's always nice that just after you buy a stock, so 2 weeks after you buy a stock, there's an announcement that there's a massive deal going down. So United Technologies is buying Raytheon, which will form the second largest aerospace business after Boeing, so they're going to be the second largest by sales, and that of course gave us a nice little bump in our share price, and that was completely unintentional. I mean, we bought it based on a good company with good technicals.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And then let's maybe also just let's talk about the listener questions for the week. As a new investor, what online resources are available to investors to have a look at?
So on our website, we ask listeners to pose us these questions. We've had some good ones over the last couple of weeks. But what we tend to find with new investors, especially new investors going offshore, and they're going to stocks they don't know, that they really want to get access to good information. And there's such a good plethora of good free websites out there for listeners nowadays. So the first one that we use TradingView a lot, which is a free charting package. We use that, in fact, on the website for the charts. Investing.com is very, very good if you want to read articles about the stocks that you're analyzing. We always keep FedWatch. Now, FedWatch is interesting because it always forecasts ahead whether there's going to be an interest rate cut or hike, and at the moment it's pricing in a sort of 80% chance that we get a rate drop by end of July. And then the other one is sort of Seeking Alpha and guys like Tip Ranks, where they come up with all good trading ideas. And all of these are free resources that are out there. And I'm not affiliated with any of those websites. They're just ones that we tell our retail clients to use on any given day.
Yeah, thanks for that. Thanks for that, Mark. And then I suppose the big question that a lot of people in the industry is asking, and I suppose you're asking tonight as well, is have you tried a meat-free burger?
So this is awesome. I mean, I went a couple of weeks ago. I went down to Joburg, had one of these sort of vegan hamburgers, and it wasn't so bad. But they listed, they did an IPO a couple of weeks ago, and that stock is up 550%. So that's Beyond Meat, trading code BYND, and that stock has rallied in 4 weeks, 550%. And in fact, it's outperformed even what JP Morgan, who are their underwriters, they had a target of $120 on this. It's currently trading 168 Rand. So obviously, non-meat is vogue, and maybe you all need to try it, but I wouldn't buy the stock at that level.
I mean, is it not also just playing into the whole space around more healthy eating, trying to eat a diet that is more plant-based rather than meat-based? Is it not really also just got to do with the trend and the fact that everybody wants to get on that bandwagon?
100%. And I think that's the problem for companies like Beyond Meat. They have a first-mover advantage at the moment. But as soon as the other bigger players start moving into that space, I think they're going to come under immense competition. So that's why I think that stock specifically at $168 up over 500% is probably stretched. So I think watch new entrants into that market. And it's something maybe we should put together a small list of the sort of non-meat, more healthy eating alternatives, and we can put a couple more trades on the portfolio for that.
Two other IPOs this week was CrowdStrike and Fiverr International. Take us through those.
So we always just keep an eye on the IPOs. We actually own the IPO ETF in our portfolio. And just to remind the listeners, the IPO ETF, what it does is 5 days after listing, they add the IPOs to the portfolio, and then they hold them for the next 2 years. And the premise behind that is that you're getting in early on these IPOs, and then you're holding them until they become a slightly more mature. So we won't go and buy those two stocks, even though Fiverr is a website that I've actually used myself to go and buy IT development at $5. And that's their whole business premise, is everything's priced at $5. They're not two that I'm going to go and chase after myself, but they will be added into that IPO ETF that we do hold for the portfolio.
And I suppose the big question on most people's lips, and has literally been, the airwaves have been full of stories around the tariffs and the protectionism around the United States. It's come to a deal with Mexico. That's obviously a good news story, with a lot of fanfare to get there. Might I add, it wasn't just a quick deal somewhere in a back room. I mean, do you think that the US and China could potentially get a deal together at some point?
Well, the market seems to be pricing it in. I mean, yeah, there was a relief rally on Friday after we heard that they'd sorted out Mexico. So move on from Mexico to China. And I saw a great research note from one of the banks this morning. They called it diplomatic bullying. And I suppose that's exactly what Trump does. He comes with his bully boy tactics. He threatens hard. He plays, maybe bluffs without cards sometimes, and then tries to force through a deal. And he's done it with Mexico. Whether that'll work with China, time will tell. Come the end of the month, when they're at the G20 meeting, if they can't come out with something positive, I think some of the air is going to come out of this market.
Well, it's quite interesting. I mean, you and I are living through a Trump era, and we can see the Trump policies, warts and all, so to speak, as he continues to try and make them. I wonder what people will say about Trump in 100 years from now. Would they call him a visionary? Maybe they would call him. Maybe they call him far worse things than that. But it'll be quite interesting. It always amazes me how people feel about an individual once they're alive, and then once they're not in 100 years from now. I wonder what people would say.
Well, hopefully, if I eat all those healthy meat-free burgers, I'll be alive in 100 years from now to look back. But as I myself were discussing the other thing, the inflatable Trump baby that was used at all the protests, it's probably an indicative of more of his style. You know, it is a bully boy tactic. It is full of hot air. It seems to be getting the job done in some places, which is amazing. I think he's taken the economic textbook it up. Okay, from now, people will look back and say it was visionary. At the moment, it's just a bit scary. I'm fortunate because I'm a short-term trader, so I can trade the noise. But anybody who's sitting holding a very long-term portfolio, I think you just got to ride through all this noise and this nonsense. So, yeah, okay, let's see in 100 years.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing, obviously, which is just like watching paint dry at this stage, is the Brexit. Is Brexit? I mean, we've seen Theresa May now, you know, imminently standing down. You've got a record 10 candidates all trying to stay committed to Brexit. Exactly how are they going to push that through now?
So all of those 10 candidates all say they're for Brexit. Once again, I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and as you say, I think we're Brexited out, where we said it was 1,000 days, I think 2 weeks ago, since they voted. So it's been a long time coming. It looks like at the moment, Boris still remains the bookies' favorite. If you were talking about Trump earlier, then I think Boris is another Trump. He'll be an interesting prime minister. He will definitely push for an exit by the 31st of October. So, and that might actually be good for the UK, because finally we'll draw a line in the sand and the UK can move on. Because at the moment, we almost feel like they're treading water. And a bit of a hit to the pound would be good for the UK stocks, because 80% of their earnings comes outside of the UK. So maybe a bit of catharsis and get this thing done. And that might be what Boris brings.
The other thing, you mentioned it a little bit earlier on, but the other thing to take into consideration as well is the fact that the US is now pricing in a fairly large probability of a next rate cut, and that's obviously to prop up a slowing economy in that market. That wasn't on the cards even 2 or 3 weeks ago, and that's certainly now on the cards.
So as I say, we watch the website FedWatch, which is trades the it's basically got a contract with prices and the probability of an interest rate cut, and it's sitting saying more than 80% chance that we're going to have a cut by end of July, and I think the market's pricing in more than one cut. So it's probably pricing in three cuts at the moment for a 12-month horizon. And the problem with that is if you price in the market to perfection like that and you don't get it, and let's be fair, the Fed has been fairly dovish. I don't think there's three cuts coming. So we could see that this U.S. market is pricing in too many cuts. But once again, you know, we'll take some cash off the table if the market starts coming back, and then we'll look for opportunistic buying.
Well, that was Mark Wheatman. He's from Unum Capital. I mean, Mark, just before we go, just give us a quick heads up here. Unum Capital, 10 seconds, where does the name come from?
So a couple of years ago, we were part of the Vinani Group. We did a management buyout. Unum is Latin for one. And effectively, that's what I like my trading desk to be, is that one point of contact for guys who want to trade both local and offshore, whether they want to trade shares, derivatives, commodities. We do it all. We tend to think we're that one-stop shop, so Unum Capital.
Mark Wheatman, and I clearly have said it wrong, Unum Capital, thank you for joining us this evening. We're going to Katlego now for the traffic.